Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke 23, verses 39 to 43, the thief's amazing prayer. In the first part of this broadcast, Dr. Beakey explained how the thief's prayer to Christ, even as both were dying on their crosses, shows first the thief relinquishing his righteousness, and second, recognizing the royalty of Jesus Christ. In this broadcast, we will now hear the thief requesting remembrance and receiving the riches of saving grace and glory.
And then thirdly, by faith, the thief proclaims Jesus' saviorhood. Now, granted, his understanding of saviorhood may have been vague and confused. But by crying out, Lord, and appealing for Christ to remember him, when he goes into his kingdom, the thief obviously believes that Jesus is not just going to die and be buried and everything's over. He believes that this is the beginning of something big. Jesus is going into a kingdom, and he just says, Lord, just remember me. How could Jesus remember someone so sinful? He's going into a kingdom. It's all confused, perhaps, in his mind, but he believes somehow that Jesus is on that center cross for sinners, even for big sinners like himself. And so he just comes. He just comes. And he can't hold back. And maybe it's audacious. Maybe it's over the top. Maybe it's rude. Maybe it's impossible. But, oh, Lord, remember me. I have nowhere else to go. Remember me. My friend, if you come to the Lord's Supper that way, you will never be turned away by Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lord of glory. He loves it when sinners come and say, I've got nowhere else to go, Jesus. Thou art my only hope. Here I come, a monster of iniquity. Here I come, selfish and proud and too much full of unbelief. But, oh, Lord Jesus, I cannot stay away. Thou art my only hope, my only salvation. That's what this whole nation needs. It's what the whole church needs. We need that kind of reformation revival where sinners cannot not come to Jesus. Lord, remember me. He doesn't say, now if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. No, that was 2 hours ago. He doesn't say, now get me down from this cross. No. He doesn't say, lengthen my life. He doesn't say, give me some good, practical, immediate worldly benefit. He doesn't say, give me some relief of this excruciating pain. Show that thou art good for something. If thou art any sort of a savior, meet my present needs. That's what man by nature would say on the cross. But this man has deeper concerns. He fears God now. He realizes he's approaching death and eternity and judgment. He has to stand before the living God. He's really praying for salvation. Lord, remember me. Now you might think that the word remember is just a trivial word, and he's just asking Jesus maybe to think on him once a while. But there's something more here. Remember is a powerful word. It doesn't just mean someday, Lord, when thou art in glory, remember that there was a thief hanging next to thee that stopped ridiculing thee. No. I still remember my life, the first time I went to preach in Waupun, Wisconsin. My dad called me up and he said, I'll be remembering you. I knew what that meant. He'd be on his knees beseeching God. for me. And you see, that's how this word is used throughout the Old Testament. Genesis 30, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. God intervened. God acted. God helped. It's the same word used in Psalm 8, verse 4 in Hebrew, translated as art mindful, art mindful, full of mind, full of thoughts for. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Did this man somehow know this word was used so often in the Bible? Did he know Psalm 25, verse 7? Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Did he somehow know Psalm 106, verse 4? Remember me, O Lord, with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me. We don't know. I'd like to know how much he really understood. But we don't need to know. Because we just know, and we just need to know, that we need to know what it means for the Lord to remember us with his salvation. And that needs to be our cry, not only for the coming Sabbath, not only for our families for the coming season on prayer day, not only for our churches, but our nation and our world. Oh Lord, remember us, remember us. Somehow, Lord, somewhere, may I find a place with thee, a part with thee. Oh, be mindful of me. Remember me in thy intercessions. May I somehow share in thy kingdom, in that glorious world to which thou art going. What a prayer. Requesting remembrance as a fruit of recognizing royalty. It's a personal prayer. Remember me. Ultimately, no one else can decide for you Sunday morning whether you're coming or not. No one else can have faith with you or for you at the table of the Lord to focus on Jesus. It's a personal thing. It becomes really personal for this thief. He's the only one there that feels that way. He loses his partner in crime and the multitude. The whole world, in fact, in that sacred moment of prayerful prayer, revolves around Jesus and himself. There's no one else there for him. Everything is personal, sacred, intimate. And it's a beautifully brief prayer. Sometimes our brief prayers are our best, you know. Lord, remember me. Really, three words said everything. Three words joined heaven, Lord, to need, remember, and to the object of need, me. It didn't ask for a long list of things, but nothing was missing. It's all compacted into that little word, remember. Oh, the short cries of God's publicans, God's Bartimaeuses, God's Canaanitish women, God's Philippian jailers are worth more than all our wordy, heartless prayers when not uttered in truth. It's a personal prayer. It's a brief prayer. It's an urgent prayer. Remember. Remember. Time is running out. Time is running out. It's urgent. You know, that's the way a lot of people and a lot of us probably feel about our nation right now and politically. We're distressed. We're distraught. Just came back from South Carolina this afternoon and just as I was walking down the airport, and there's a TV screen there, big letters across it said, Jeb Bush meeting with Kasich and Rubio and Cruz. Oh, you can imagine what that's about. This is getting urgent. This one man is ahead of everyone, and can't let him be president of our land. It's urgent. What are we going to do? We're going to talk about it. What's going to happen? We don't know. It is an urgent case for America. But you see, this case is even more urgent. This case is desperate. In a few hours, he'll be in eternity. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt guilty, lost before God? Your only hope was in God. You could die tonight. And it became real for you. Eternity. I'm standing on the brink of eternity. Lord, remember me. It drives you to humble, personal, brief, urgent prayer. Oh, my friend, be encouraged. Jesus Christ will answer all those who wait on him. More than answer. He will do exceeding abundantly above, more than we can ask or think. This man receives incredible, incredible riches from Jesus. In verse 43, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Every word the thief prays is more than answered by Jesus. If you're a note taker, make two columns. Here, Lord, over here. Verily, I say unto thee, you call me by the right name, thief. I am Lord. Verily, I swear, you're calling me by the right name. Remember me, number two, over here. Thou shalt be with me. Just everything. Three, when? Jesus' response, today. Today. Four, into thy kingdom. Answer, in paradise. You see? Ephesians 3:20 is fulfilled here. Marvelously, thou wilt do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The thief never entered his wildest imagination that he'd be going to heaven with Jesus today. That's what grace does. Grace is amazing. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Grace is always far bigger, far better, far more than you can possibly imagine. You know, that's something that young people, the world tries to twist around. Satan tries to twist around in your life. He tries to tell you, I know he does, that the world will give more to you than Christianity will give. It's a bunch of nonsense. The world promises you everything and gives you nothing, worse than nothing. Jesus Christ promises you an answer to your cries and prayers, and to give you far more than you can ever imagine. Today, in paradise. What a prayer day. And what a preparation for meeting God in spirit and in truth, in glory. It says that Jesus says, thief, you ask for a thought, but I'm promising you heaven. Heaven today, I'm hanging here so you may enter into glory with me. I'm giving my life for you. I'm taking even now your deserved hell upon me. I'm paying for that hell right now, thief, and I'm earning heaven for you. I'm giving you faith to believe in me even as I'm giving my blood for you. And my Father shall receive my obedience as satisfaction to his justice for your disobedience. So I'm taking your hell and giving you my heaven. And I will die and arise and see you in you, the travail of my soul, and be satisfied. My death and resurrection and ascension precede yours. I will come to paradise, and so shall you. And by faith and grace, you'll be buried with me and rise with me and enter paradise with me as one of the elect church whom I carry in my loins into the presence of my holy Father. My grace, thief, is sufficient for you. An answer. Unbelievable riches, sacred unforgettable moment for the penitent thief, expecting to hear, "Today I will go to heaven, but I have never known you. You deserve hell, thief. To hell you shall go. But instead, you'll be with me." That's everything for a child of God. Thou with me. Three words are the summary of every child of God's desire for this life and for a better. Thou with me. This is my crowning desire, Lord. This is my everlasting possession, to be with Christ. To be with Christ is heaven. Christ is the centerpiece of heaven. I've quoted to you often that statement of Rutherford that struck me so hard when I was still a teenager. Never forgotten it. If there were 1,000 heavens piled on top of one another, Jesus Christ would be the centerpiece of them all. You see, it's all about Christ. Oh, are there moments in your life, my friend, when you say, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better than this world. This world's empty without Him." You know, when I first came to Grand Rapids, the first year I went to see one of the widows, who's now gone as well, but she had lost her husband a year or two before, I think. I walked into her home, and it was beautiful. It was well decorated. I made some comment as I sat down. You've got a beautiful home. And she just looked at me and said, "It all means nothing to me." What do you say to that? I didn't know what to say. And she said, "You know, I've lost my husband. And all these walls and everything looks empty to me without him." And you see, that's how a believer feels about Christ. Our real husband. Life is empty without him. A day is empty if I don't think about him. If I don't cry out to him. If I don't commune with him. But when I'm with him, life is so meaningful. And to be with him forever in glory, in paradise, the heavenly paradise, is far better than anything this world has to offer. Oh, for the thief in that moment, there were no nails. There was no pain. He's above it all. This is how martyrs can be burned at the stake and be praising God. Today, in paradise, he receives unbelievable riches. A staggering, staggering gospel. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, and there may you, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Oh, come, sinner, just as you are, in all your need, to the Lord Jesus Christ, at his table, and ask him to wash away all your sin. And as you receive the bread and the wine, believe his promise. As surely as you drink this wine, as surely as you eat this bread, so surely I will wash away all your sin. It's the only place to go. No one else and nowhere else. Only one name given among men, whereby we must be saved. It's either Jesus or we perish. It's either his blood or my own blood in hell forever. Seek him now. Seek him now while it's still the day of grace. You know, the old divines used to always say when they preached on the thief on the cross, there's only one thief on the cross in the Bible who was saved in the last moment so as to give hope for the greatest of sinners at any moment that he can yet be saved. But there's only one, so that no one would presume and no one would say, "I can wait till I'm older." You've got to go now. Tomorrow's faith is simply today's unbelief. The word yesterday has slain its thousands. I've sinned too much yesterday, who assumed that they couldn't find mercy. But the word tomorrow, "I'm going to see God tomorrow," has slain its tens of thousands. People who intend to repent like trembling Felix and yet procrastinate and say, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Don't wait another day. Luther rightly said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Young people, don't wait till you're older. Children, don't wait till you're older. Ask God this very night, as you bow before Him beside your bed, that you would truly believe in Christ alone for salvation and surrender your whole life by the grace of God to the God of grace. You know, this poor thief was so rich, and yet he had no time for a life of Christian service. It's too bad, in one way. And yet in his death, his life is preached over the ages to thousands and tens of thousands of people. Multitudes have been blessed by the testimony of this dying, penitent thief. How sweet it is to cry out to the living God. How sweet it is to have real prayer days, which will pave the way to real Thanksgiving days. But as I close, may I just remind you once more, there was another thief, an impenitent thief, no prayer on his lips, no change in his accusations against Jesus, no trust in his blood, only terrible silence as he descends into the pit. I hope it's not you. Will you not pray with your heart to God? Will you not see your need for a Savior, the only Savior? Dear friend, I'll say it to you one more time from this pulpit. You must, absolutely must, be born again. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit is as willing to do that as the Savior is, to die for sinners just like you. The impenitent thief descended into the lake of fire and brimstone, joined the damned. And you and I will soon either be with a penitent thief in paradise or with the impenitent thief in hell. Look to the man. Look to the man on the center cross. See his outstretched arms. Hear his open mouth today. Witness his large heart, open even for a despicable thief, the scum of society. If he can save that murderous thief in the last hours of his life, why can't he save you? Whoever you are, wherever you are, he calls to you tonight. Bow, bow, sinner. Come to me just as you are, confessing, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he promises you, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen. Great God of heaven, we thank thee for the thief's amazing preparatory prayer day. We thank thee for how he relinquished righteousness and recognized royalty, requested remembrance, and received riches. Let us be like him, Lord. Let us realize that all our righteousnesses, all our grounds of salvation must be nailed to the cross of death, and that only the God-man on the center cross can save us by his fountain of blood. And grant us faith, we pray, to lay hold of thy dear Son, to find our life in his death, and then dying to ourselves to find our death in his life, in him, the resurrected Prince of Life. Lord, we're all frail and limited and poor in ourselves, but we thank thee that thou art great and powerful and infinitely kind and infinitely merciful. Please, dear Father in heaven, through the Son of God and by the Spirit of God, remember each one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."